The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Sota has been dedicated by our good friends and Talmid, Mr. Haimi and Dina Dana, Hashem Yishmonem V'Chayim, for the success of their children, and especially the Fu'as Shelema Moshe Ben Dina, ולעילוי נשמת יוסף בן סרינה, דוד בן פרידה, נעיר בן זוהרה, משה בן פייגה רות, שרה בת אסתר, פייגה רות בת אסתר, אל אסתר בת יוכבת. רוח השם תניחם בגן עדן, אמן. תזכו למצוות.
דף למד חט. תראה, דף is being studied על נשמת. מרת זקנתי יפה בצלה, אומר זקני רבי יוסף בן צרה, רבי אברהם בן אסתר, רוח השם תניחם בגן עדן, אמן. תראה, דף is being studied. לרפואה שלמה, משה בן דינה, שרה רוחמה בת רחל ושרה בת רחל. אין לה רפן עליהם, רפואת הנפש ורפואת הגוף. ורפואתם קרבה לא וכן יהיה בסוף ולמר, אמן. ובגן תראה, דף על למד זין, עמוד ב', starting from the משנה. On the bottom of the Amud, we learned in a previous Mishnah that Birkat Kohanim, that's Nisiat Kapayim, that's when the Kohanim go up and bless the nation, that is specifically done Belashon HaKodesh in Hebrew. Now the Mishnah is going to elaborate. Birkat Kohanim Ketzer. How does the Birkat Kohanim happen? Medina, Medina means outside of the Bet HaMikdash. Omer Ota Shalosh Berachot. It is divided into three Berachot, which means the Kahal answers Amen to the three Pesukim, which means Baruch Hashem Shmerecha, they answer Amen. Ya'er Hashem Panav Alecha V'choneka, they answer Amen. Yisa Hashem Panav Alecha V'simcha Shalom, and they answer Amen. So it's split up into three Berachot B'Megdash, Beracha Achat. However, in the Bet HaMikdash, on the Temple Mount, there was no hefsek, because as we're going to learn in the Bet HaMikdash, they did not answer Amen. So therefore it was considered all one long Beracha. Furthermore, Obi Mikdash Omeret Hashem Kichtavo Obi Medira Bichinuyo, which means in the Bet HaMikdash, when they would say Hashem's name Yudke Vavke, they would say it as it is written. They would say Yeho, they would say it as it is spelled with the letters. However, in the Medina outside of the Bet HaMikdash, they would say it Be'adanut, like we say it today. Medina, which is outside of the Beit HaMikdash, Kohanim nosim et yedehem keneged kitfehem. The Kohanim, they would lift their hands by their shoulders. B'Mikdash al gaber Hashem. The Beit HaMikdash, they would lift it above their heads. The reason being that the Shekhinah was on top of the fingers of the Kohanim. So if they came out to the Shekhinah, so lift their hands all the way up. Furthermore, chutz mekohen gadol, except for the Kohen Gadol, she'eno magbiya et yadav lemala min asis. He's not allowed to lift his hands above the seats because the seats had on it the name of Hashem. That would not be kavod to put his hands above the holy name on the seats. He says no. Even the Kohen Gadol would lift his hands above the seats, and he brings the pasuk to support the shne'emar v'yisa aharon et yadav el ha'am. So you see, Aharon, this happened on the eighth day of the Miluim. That means when that 7 days preparation before the inauguration of the Mishkan, on the eighth day, which was actually Rosh Chodesh Nisan, that was the day the Mishkan was inaugurated, and Aharon started to serve on that day in his capacity as Kohen Gadol. And he blessed the people, according to our understanding, he blessed them with Birkat Kohanim, the regular Birkat Kohanim that we are familiar with. And it says in the Pasuk, Vayisa Aharon, that even though Aharon was a Kohen Gadol, Vayisa et yadav, he lifted his hands up, and smashma above his head. That's the way we are understanding. Now, the only question is, where do you see in this pasuk that it was above his head? You just see that he lifted his hands. And Mefarshim are struggling to try to know, how do you know that it was actually above? So he says over here, okay, so that's something that has to be answered. And some want to say that this last part of the Mishnah, because of this question that I just asked, is not part of Rabbi Yehuda's statement. This last part over here is bringing the Pasuk that the Kohanim have to lift their hands during Birkat Kohanim. Stop. Which means Rabbi Yehuda said even the Kohen Gadol has to lift his hands above his head. Period. And the Pasuk that's being brought over is going back for the first thing that just says that they have to lift their hands up. How do they have to lift their hands up? Because it's Vayisa Aaron et yada. That would make most sense to say that this last part of the Mishnah is not Rabbi Yehuda talking. Furthermore, the rabbis learn from this Pasuk from the fact that it says Yadav. If you look in the Pasuk, the way it's written, Yadav is written without a Yud. So it can be read Yado. To teach us over that one hand has to be higher than the other, and that is the halakha by the Kohanim, but the right hand is a little higher than the left hand, because it says, that's the way it's written. So that's why one hand is elevated higher. In any event, the Gemara begins, Tanu Rabbanan. Ko tebarechu, the Pasuk says, Ko tebarechu b'nei Yisrael, amor them. So the fact says, Ko tebarechu, we learn from that Pasuk, Bilshon HaKodesh, like this. Bless them like this in this language. However, you'll tell me the Lashon HaKodesh, or maybe you can bless them in any language. Ne'emar kan Ko tebarechu. Ve'ne'emar la'alan, it says by us, by the Birkat Kohanim, Ko tebarechu. And it says by the Berachot on Har Gerizim and Har Eival, Ele ya'amdu levarech et'am. Right? The inyan of the Berachot over there. Ma la'alan bilshon HaKodesh, just like over there. By Har Gerizim and Har Eival, it was bilashon HaKodesh. So, Afkan bilashon HaKodesh, which means already we learned earlier that Gerizim and Har Eival was done in Hebrew, Lashon HaKodesh, that's Beracha. So here it says Ko tevarechu. So it's like over there, so too over here. Comes the Gemara Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Eno Sarich. You don't have to go that far. You don't need this Gezerah Shavah. Harehu Omer Ko. Ad Shiyomru Belashon Hazeh. He says very simple. Ko tevarechu, like this. Which means like these words. What's these words? Lashon HaKodesh. Say it as it is written in the Torah itself. Tanya Yidak, we have another Braita. Ko tevarechu Ba'amidah. Oh, the blessing that the Kohanim give the people has to be done standing. How do you know? Ata omer ba'amidah, o'enu ela afilu b'yeshiva. Maybe they can even do it sitting. Ne'emar kan ko tebarechu. Ne'emar la'alan el ya'amdu nevarech. Right? Bahar gerizim ha'arival, when they were blessing, they were standing. So they were, over there was a blessing and it was standing. So to over here, it's a blessing. It has to be standing. Ma'al la'alan ba'amidah, afkan ba'amidah. Rabbi Natan omer eno sarich. You don't need to go that far. Ne'o omer le'shareto. Ulbarech Bishmo. There is a pasuk that's talking about the service of the Kohanim. It says that God separated the tribe of Levi in order to carry the Aron b'nit Hashem la'amod lifnei Hashem l'shareto, to stand in front of God and serve Him. Ulbarech Bishmo, and to bless Him. So therefore, the Gemara makes a diuk. Ma misharet ba'amidah. Just like service of the Kohanim must be done standing. Af mevarech ba'amidah. Right, says the sharet. Right, the pasuk shareto ulbarech b'shmo. That there's a connection between shirut, service of the Kohanim, and blessing. Just like service is done standing, so to the blessing is done standing. How do you know service of the Kohanim is done standing? So the Gemara says v'misharet gufa minalan gufe minalan. How do you know that the service itself has to be done standing? Dichtiv la'amod le'sharet, because pasuk to stand and to serve. Comes the Gemara says Tanya idach. We have another bright. A lot of things are being learned over here from Ko tebarechu. Ko tebarechu. Benesiut kapayim. It's teaching me what, that the hands have to be elevated. Ata omer benesiut kapayim. Who said? Who told you you have to elevate the hands? Ne'emar kan Ko tebarechu. Ve'ne'emar le'alan v'yisa aron et yadav el ha'am v'ibarechem. That was the pasuk that the Mishnah quoted us at the end. That says Aaron on the eighth day of the Miluim, which is the first day of the inauguration of the Mishkan, he lifted his hands up to bless the people. So therefore, Malala Minisut Kapam, just like over there, he was blessing the people, which we understand he was blessing the Birkat Kohanim, and he lifted his hands, Afkan bin Siut Kapayim, so too over here, in a regular Kohen, blesses the people, he has to lift his Kote Baruch Hu, meaning the way that Aharon did it. Comes Gabriel and says, we have a question. Kashel Rabbi Yonatan. Right, Rabbi Yonatan had a question. Ima la'alan kohen gadol v'rosh chodesh v'avodat sibur. Can't compare. That day was a special day. Number one, it's kohen gadol. So maybe only a Kohen Gadol has to lift his hands. Yeah? You can only learn from Aaron to what Aaron was. Verosh Chodesh, and that day was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Va'avodat Sibur, and there was Korbanot Sibur brought on that day. Like the Gemara says that that was the eighth day. That day had 10 crowns, which means it was a very special day. So therefore, who told you that you can learn from there to all other Kohanim that are not Kohanim Gedolim on regular days that they should do the same thing as Aaron did? So the Gemara says, so Afkan Kohen Gadol Rosh Chodesh Va'avodat Sibur. So therefore, that derasha is knocked out because to learn from Aaron, Aaron is exceptional. So therefore, Gemara gives a difference. So Rabbi Natan Omer Eros Sadik, you don't got to go that far. Hare Omer Hu Ubanav Kol Hayamim. The pasuk says by Aaron HaKohen, Kibo Bachar Hashem Olecha Mekol Shevet. God chose Shevet Levi from all the tribes. The Amod, the Sharet, Beshem Hashem Hu Ubanav. Kol Hayamim, there's a connection between Aharon and his sons. Makish Banav Lo. The Torah makes a case between the sons to him. Ma'u bin Siut Kapayim, Apanav bin Siut Kapayim. Just like he did it by raising his hand, so the sons are equal. Now, when you learn like this, you're not able to say, well, he was a Kohen Gadol, so therefore he's different. Because once already you're learning from a Simichut in the Pesukim, Hu Banav, even though you have a question, doesn't matter. Since it's available for the Dirash, so therefore the Dirash is automatic regardless. Look at that she. That she says, Velo, look at that she. Af panav b'nisut kapayim, Velo tikshitu sheken Kohen Gadol. Don't ask a question, what do you mean? But he was a Kohen Gadol, so I can compare him to his sons. The en mishivim ala hekesh. You don't ask questions on a hekesh. That is the rule. Comes again with Uchtiv, Kol hayamim. And what does the pasuk say? Kol hayamim. Not only on Rosh Chodesh, not only on special days, Kol hayamim. Always. So therefore, that's the source how you know the Kohanim actually have to lift their hands up. It's comparing the sons to the father. V'itkash beracha l'shirut. Now, all the pasuk said l'shareto. It didn't say to bless. That pasuk that it compares the sons of Aaron to the father, it means for service. But we know already we have another pasuk that compares service to blessing. Because the pasuk said earlier, l'shareto ulbarech b'shmo. So if we know this, so it's a double derasha of it. Number one, Aaron's children are compared to him. Hu ubanav kol hayamim. So the banav are like him. And the pasuk over there that was comparing them was in service, l'shareto. And we know shirut is compared to beracha, because it's l'shareto, barich b'shmo. So therefore, all of these laws of birkat kohanim are equal to the father, to the son. Therefore, just like Aaron lifted his hands up, so to the children comes the Gemara of Tanya. Another derasha on the words kote barichu. Kote barichu b'nei Yisrael, b'shem meforash. Okay, it is done with the explicit name of God. In this case over here, it's the explicit name of God. B'shem meforash means yudke vavke in the way it is spelled out. So comes the Gemara and says, right, and she says, kiktavo. You tell me that you have to bless the Birkat Kohanim with the Shem Meforash. Which means, maybe that means only in the Adanut, which means it's written Yud Kevavke, but the way you say it is Adanut. Tamud Omar, Besamu, et Shemi. Pasuk says, and you will place my name, Shemi Yamiyuhadli. So the Gemara's Doresh, my specific, special name. Yachol Af Begvulim Ken. You think you could do this even outside of the Beit HaMikdash? Ne'emar kan v'samu et shemi. V'ne'emar la'alan, it says in a different place, lasum et shemo sham. Right? Over there, the pasuk is saying over the ki'im elam makom, asher yivchar Hashem Elohechem mekot shevtechem lasum et shemo sham. L'shechnot t'drishu uvat ha'shama. Now over there, lasum et shemo sham, the place was named, what was that referring to? The Beit HaMikdash. So too, it says over here, Ma le'alam bet ha-bechira, afkan bet ha-bechira. So too, over there, when it talks about placing God's name, it's talking about the Beit HaMikdash. Lasum et shemo sham is the Beit HaMikdash. So too, v'samu et shemi is only in the Beit HaMikdash. Rabbi Yoshiah omer eno sarik, you don't have to go that far. Ha'ne omer, bechol ha-makom asher is kir et shemi, avo elecha. Now, the pasuk says, any place that you mention my name, God says, I am going to come and bless you. So Gemara says, is that possible? Bechol makom salkadatach. Is that possible that in any place, which means we know that you're not allowed to mention God's name in any place. Number one, because we have a Gemara, we learned that Pesachim on Daf Nun. The Gemara says, on the pasuk, ze shemi veze zichri. I mean, God has a name, but he has a remembrance, which means you're not allowed to say God's name. The Gemara says, lo kemo she'ani nikhtav ani nikra, which means I have a name and I have a zikrish. Let me see that the pasuk cannot be taken literally, that wherever you mention my name as it is, you're going to be blessed. Because really you're not allowed to mention the name of Kadosh Baruch Hu. And further, you're not allowed to mention God's name in any place. Then she says, V'chi b'chol makom shekina ba'av shora. We know that you're only allowed to mention God in a specific place. So what does the pasuk mean? Bechol makom, anywhere you mention my name, you're going to be blessed. It cannot be taken literal, because we know already that number one, there is restrictions on mentioning God's name, Yudke Vavke. You're not allowed to say it, that's for sure. And number two, certainly it cannot be said in any place. So you know how you learn the pasuk? Ela mikrazim misoras. You have to read the pasuk meupach, which you have to switch around the words and read it like this. בכל מקום אשר אבוא אליך או ברכתיך, in any place that I will come and bless you, which namely is the בית המקדש, שם אזכיר את שמי. Over there, my name will be mentioned. ואיכן אבוא אליך או ברכתיך, where's the place where God comes and blesses us? בבית הבחירה, in the בית הבחירה, בית המקדש, שם אזכיר את שמי בבית הבחירה. So therefore, when the Pasuk says, בכל מקום אשר אזכיר את שמי, אבוא אליך ברכתיך, really starts to be read. In any place that I come and bless you, which the blessing of God is in the בית הבחירה, there, תזכיר את שמי. So that's the way Rabbi Yoshia learns that indeed the beracha in the בית המקדש was done with the shem Yud Ke Vav Ke. Look at Rashi, Mesurasu, Mupach, בכל המקום אשר אבוא אליך באוהל מועד, for example, on the אוהל מועד שבמדבר, ובשילה בית עולמים, either it's in Shiloh, that's a temporary משכן, or in the בית עולמים, which is the, indeed, the בית המקדש. Comes the Gemara and continues, תניא אידך, we have a brighter second wide line, כותב ברוך הוא, another דרשן, this כותב ברוך הוא בני ישראל, in the אלה בני ישראל, גרים, נשים, ועבדים משוחררים מנין. How do you know that converts are included in the ברכה? Ladies are also included in the ברכה. And slaves that were free, שעבד כנעני, that went free. How do we know that he's included in the ברכה? תמוד לא מנין, תמוד לא מנין, אמור להם. אז כותב ברוך הוא בני ישראל, אמור להם, להם is coming to include, וכולהו is coming to include everyone. Comes the Gemara and says, תניא אידך, כותב ברוך הוא, another דרשה on the words, כותב ברוך הוא. Panim keneged panim, which means it has to be face to face. I mean, the Kohanim are facing the people. It means they have their back to the Hechal, their face to the people, and the people are facing them. Panim keneged panim. You say it has to be face to face. So eno ela panim keneged orif. Who told you? Maybe the Kohanim's backs are facing the people. Orif is the neck. Maybe the back of the neck of the Kohanim are facing the people. Comes the Gemara and says, well, actually, that she says, she'en ha-sibur tzrikim la'aset panim tzrikim. Maybe the people are able to have their backs to the Kohanim. Reverse. Maybe the people can be standing with their backs to the Kohanim. Tabud amar, amor lahem. Amor lahem. Speak to them, the Torah says. Like a person talking to his friend. You're talking face to face. You don't talk face to back. So therefore, Amor lahem teaches us as we panim tzrikim. Tanya idach. Yet another bright. Kote barechu. This is the way it's supposed to bless the people. Bekol ram. It has to be done in a loud voice. The Kohanim have to be audible. Or maybe it could be done in a low voice. Amor lahem. Say to the people. Kadam shomer lachaver. A person talking to his friend. He talks in an audible voice. Amar Abaye. Abaye comes along and says, Naktina. Naktina means halakha. Shlishnayim kore Kohanim. ולאחד אינו קורא כהן, שנאמר אמור להם לשניים. Which is, when there's two or more Kohanim, then the Hazan can call the Kohanim up, or the somebody in the synagogue who says, actually the Hazan says to them, Kohanim. Before they make the Beracha, the Hazan has to introduce them, right? So if there's two or more Kohanim, since the Pasuk is Amor Lahem, Lahem is plural, then you can introduce by saying the word Kohanim. However, less than two, if there's only one Kohen, you cannot say Kohanim. As she says, Amor Lahem, actually that's it. Good. Avamar of Chazdar, Chazdar comes along and says, Nachtina, another halakha. Kohen kore Kohanim, ve'en Yisrael kore Kohanim. Shlemar Amor Lahem, Amira Mishlahem. Which means, according to Rav Chazdar, he says a big hadush, that the only one that can say the word Kohanim to introduce the Kohanim is a Kohen himself. Because the Pasuk is Amor Lahem, which means the Amira should be from them. Look at the bottom Rashi. כהן קורא קוראים אם שליח ציבור כהן הוא קורא ומזהיר את חבריו ועומדים לפניו להזהיר פניהם ולברק את ישראל, which is if the Hazan is a Kohen, he can invite his friends to say Kohanim, which means to tell them to start turning their face around to make the Melaka. Ve'im Yisraelu eno kore Kohanim. But if he say, does not say Kohanim, that's the opinion of Rav Chanan. Comes the Gemara and says, Ve'elcheta kevateh de'abaye. Number one, Alakha follows the Beit, you have to have at least two Kohanim to say the word Kohanim. And the Gemara then says, Ve'elcheta kevateh de'Rav Chanan. But Alakha does not follow Rav Chanan. Which means you don't have to be a Kohen to say the word Kohanim, which is even a Yisrael can say the word Kohanim. Now on this daf over here that we just read, this Amud, many halachot have just been said. We said them very quickly. Now we're going to go for a moment and just review them la halacha in the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. The first halacha comes from Shulchan Aruch, Siman Kuf Chefchet, halacha Yud Gimal, it is also in the Rambam, in the Siut Kapayim, Perik Yudal, halacha Gimal, where the halacha says, Matchinim HaKohanim Nomar, Yibarechecha, which means I have a big controversy over here. When the Kohanim bless the people, where do they begin from? Do they begin from the word Yibarechecha, or do they begin from the word Hashem? Which means the question is, the Hazan himself, when he says the Berachot, he says word for word to the Kohanim, where does the Hazan start from? Does he start from the word Yibarechecha, or does he start from the word Hashem? So Maran brings them, Matchilin HaKohanim Lomar Yibarechecha. So Maran's opinion is that the Kohanim, like we do, like Almanac, they say the word Yibarechecha. Ve'yesh omrim shegam bilat Yibarechecha yikra oto hashas te'ilan. Some say no, that even that, the Hazan says that word as well. That's the minhag of the Ashkenazim. That's also the minhag of most Sephardi communities, even in Eretz Israel, that the Hazan is makreh the word Yibarechecha as well as the rest of the words, like it says, "V'harkach makre otam hashas mila b'mila." Then the Hazan reads word for word, "Mitoka sidur from zvehen onim acharav al kol mila ad chismu pasuk lishon." V'az onim asibur amen. And we answer amen at the end of every single pasuk. V'yishmerecha, v'yichoneka, and shalom, like the Mishnah said. V'chen achar pasuk bet, v'chen achar pasuk gimal. However, in the Beit Hamikdash, as brought down by Rambam in Perek Yudal Halachatet Ketz, ad berchat konim במקדש. הכהנים עולים לדוכן אחר שישלימו הכהנים עבודת תמיד של שחר. After קורבן תמיד של שחר, the כהנים would go up to the דוכן, ואחד מקרא אותם מילה במילה, same thing, word for word, כדרך שעושה בגבולים. עד שישלימו שלושה פסוקים, they finish all three פסוקים, ואין העם עונים אחר כל פסוק, אלא עושים אותם במקדש ברכה אחת. There's no amen in the Beit HaMikdash, so it's all one long ברכה, like משנה said, ושישלימו כל העם עונים, ברוך השם, אלוהים, אלוהי ישראל, מן העולם ועד העולם. They make one Berachah towards the end, as we said. Ve'omer et Hashem kichtavo. In the Beit HaMikdash, the word Shekinah's name is said as it is spelled, Yudke Vavke. Vehu Hashem Hanagah Miyudke Vavke. Vezehu Hashem HaMeforash. That's referred to the Hashem HaMeforash. Amur b'chol makom. Meaning Harambam. Umedina Omrim Oto B'chinuyo. Vehu Be'alef Dalet. Meaning Adanut. She'en Mazkir Et Hashem Kichtavo Ela B'Mikdash. Bilvad. Then Harambam tells the history. Umeshemet Shimon HaSadiq. When Shimon HaSadiq passed away, that's in times of the second Beit HaMikdash, Pasku HaKohanim Melevarech B'Shem HaMeforash Afilu B'Mikdash. They stopped using the Shem HaMeforash even in the Beit HaMikdash. Why? כדי שלא ילמוד אותו אדם שאינו חשוב ואינו הגון. Which means, it just wasn't, when we say the Shem HaMeforash, it had special nekudot. And if you'd hear it, you'd be able to take it and use it for, abuse it, misuse it for different things. So therefore they stopped saying it. ולא היו חכמים ראשונים מלמדים שם זה לתלמידים. They wouldn't even teach the Shem to their students, ובניהם ההגונים, אלא פעם אחת לשבע שנים. Once every 7 years they would teach it. They kept it very secretive. כל זה גדולה לשמוע נכבד. הכהנים, we go now to the שולחן ערוך in הלכה י"ב. הכהנים מגביהים ידיהם כנגד כתפותיהם, okay, by their shoulders, ומגביהים יד ימינית קצת למעלה, like we know, because it says over there by Aaron, ידיו, but it's written ידו, to teach us that one hand is a little higher, so the right hand is a little higher than the left, ופושטים ידיהם וחולקים אצבעותיהם, right, and they split their fingers up, ומכוונים לעשות האבינים, according to the פשט, they make five air spaces, the five air spaces, according to the father, are the following, the Kohen has to split his fingers up, which means he puts his index finger and the finger next to it touching each other, as well as the we'll call the third and the pinky and the finger next to it also touching each other, and he divides them to make one air space in between. So that's one air space, and then you have the air space between the pointer finger and the thumb. That is the second airspace. Then you have the airspace in between the fingers themselves, which means according to the Shulchan Aruch, you have to take the right hand and you place it down. According to the Halakha, according to the Shulchan Aruch, the back of the hand is facing up and the palms are facing the ground. So therefore the split is on one hand like this. Then the thumb, the right thumb is on the left thumb, it crosses over, and there's like a window that's formed in between that, this over here, this window is considered an airspace. Then you have the space between the thumb and the finger on the left hand, the pointer finger, and then you have the space between the two fingers, the middle, that's five airspaces altogether. Again, one in the middle of the right hand, then between the pointer and the thumb, that's two, then in between the two hands themselves is three, then on the left hand from the thumb to the pointer finger is four, and then in between the two fingers is five. That's according to the pshat. However, the Arizal had a different understanding how to make the five airspace. He held that you're not supposed to have any of your fingers touching, he held that all of the fingers should be opened up, and that's the way Achab ben Sion says to do. He just says, if you want, to make a bigger space in between the middle finger to follow the pshat also. So keep all the fingers not touching. He holds that the five spaces are not on both hands. The five spaces are on each hand. Okay, so we have one, two, three, four, and then in between, and this one casts a boat, and you have one, two, three, four, and that casts a boat. So you have five air spaces on each one. Another mahalok between the pshat and the Kabbalah, and this is the direction of the hands. As I said, according to Maran, the hands are down, right above the left. According to the Arizal, the hands must be facing up, like in this position, by the side of the head. That's the way the Kohanim would hold their hands like this, according to the Arizal. Each one should follow the custom. Comes the Rambam and Kedushah B'Mikdash, HaKohanim Magbim Yedim Lemar L'Gabir HaShehem. Okay, in Beit HaMikdash, we're following the opinion that says, B'Yehuda, that the was above the heads. V'Zmertim P'Shutot Chutz M'Kohen Gadol. I'm sorry, except for the Kohen Gadol, I take that back, that since he was wearing the seats, he cannot lift his hands over his head. En HaKohanim B'Berchim Eda B'Lashon HaKodesh. Can only make it in Hebrew. D'Chtiv Ko Tebarechu. בלשון הזה, ואפילו בדיעבד לא יצא בשאר לשון. Comes the halakha continues. כך למדו מפי השמוע, ממשה רבנו עליו השלום. כותב עריכו בעמידה. Has to be standing. כותב עריכו בנשיאות כפיים, hands lifted. כותב עריכו בלשון הקודש. כותב עריכו פנים כנגד פנים. Right? After everybody has to face each other. כותב עריכו בכל רם. Out loud. כותב עריכו בשם המפורש. והיינו במקדש. אם בירך בשאר לשון לא יצא אפילו בדיעבד, we said if you said the ברכת כהנים in a different language, you're not יוצאים בדיעבד, okay? And also, עמידה, פנים כנגד פנים, כל רם, all these things are מעכב בדיעבד. Comes the, הלכה says, אם היה כהן המברך, if the כהן is the one that is making the, אם היה כהן המברך אחד, which means he's the only, there's only one Kohen, let's say, and the Sibur Kohen the Kohanim. Like we learned in the Gemara, you cannot say Kohanim. Our custom is that somebody in the class screams out the word Emor, just to give him a signal that he should start the Berakah. Berakah Ma'atzmo. V'shele Yassur Mekle Oto Mila B'Mila. V'imem Shnayim Oyot. If there's two or more, Ena Metchilu Berakh Ad Sheikla Lem Shele Yassibur Amor Lahem. So if he has to say Kohanim to them, and then he continues word for word. Now, we said over here, very interesting, Let El Cheta Kerav Chizda. Now that means, according to Rav Chizda, he held that only a Kohen can call Kohanim. But if you say Let El Cheta Kerav Chizda, that means not only a Kohen can call, but anybody can call, which means even a Yisrael. However, Harambam is posekin halacha that only a Yisrael is able to call the Kohanim, not a Kohen. So they want to know where the Rambam gets his halacha from. Harambam is posek like Rav Chizda of the Yerushalmi. Rav Chasdan Yerushalmi is different than our Rav Chasdan. Rav Chasdan clearly Yerushalmi says only a Yisrael can say the Kohen, which is our Minhag as well, that only Yisrael, if the Kohen is a Hazan, he does not call the Kohen, we put a Yisrael on the side. Hadakha does say that a Kohen should not be Hazan really for Shacharit, because then he's going to lose out the Birkat Kohen, which we're going to see now can be a Mitzvah Deoraita. Therefore it's better that he doesn't become the Hazan in order to catch the Birkat Kohanim, let somebody else be Hazan for that subject. In any event, we continue the Gemara and the Amud Bet. Continues now with a host of statements in the name of Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, minayin shekadosh baruch hu mitavel Birkat Kohanim. How do we know that God yearns for the Birkat Kohanim? Shnei Emar, God says, v'samu et shemi al b'nei Yisrael v'ani abarechem, which is God is saying, please put my name on the people. God is saying, place my name on the people and bless me, which means it's smashed by that. It's not like our need, it's like God's need. God is commanding us, put my name on the people and bless them, which means God yearns for the beracha of the Kohanim. Comes to Rabbi Yoshua ben Nevi, kol kohen shemivarech mitbarech. I mean, the Kohen have to know that. The Kohen who blesses the nation will get blessed. V'she'enu mivarech en mitbarech. But the opposite is also true. If he desists, does not go up to bless the people, so he does not get the beracha. Shnei emar, when God told Abraham, which means anybody that blesses the seed of Avraham gets blessed. So therefore any Kohen that's blessing Am Yisrael, automatically the Beracha comes back on him. Now comes Rashi and says over here, maybe you're going to argue and tell me, what do I need this V'Abarechem V'Abarechecha? Maybe I can learn it from V'Ani Abarechem. What is the pasuk say? V'samu et shemi al b'nei Yisrael. You will place, you Kohanim will place the name of God on the people. V'ani abarechem sounds like, and I will bless the Kohanim. V'ani abarechem, I will bless the Kohanim. So if that's the case, what do you need v'abarechem v'abarechecha? It's a b'firush pasuk v'ani abarechem. So Rashi says, de'ilu v'ani abarechem a Yisrael ka'e. V'ani abarechem is going back on the Jewish people. Rabbi Akiva damar be'ilu t'refot. Lamadu beracha li Yisrael mepi haKohanim. Which is, we know that the Kohanim bless the people. But how do we know that God confirms the beracha of the Kohanim to Kohanim Yisrael? Which means God agrees with the Kohanim. So ultimately the blessing in Birkat Kohanim is a beracha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Which means God says, you put your hands on the Jewish people, and then God says, who's going to ultimately do the blessing? I'm doing the blessing. So V'ani Barachim teaches me the beracha of the Israel. How do I know the Kohanim themselves get blessed? Which means I know that from the blessing that God told Avraham Abinu. Comes the Gemara and continues. Any Kohen does not go up to the Duchan, over b'shlosha aseh, he transgresses three positive commandments. Number one, kote barichu amor lahem v'samu et shemi. Furthermore, a bee comes along and says, "Hosheshim shema bin gerusha bin halusau." You have to be concerned that if he's not going up to the Kohanim, maybe he's pagum. Maybe he's the son of a divorcee. Maybe he's the son of a halusa. So therefore, it's going to cast aspersions on the guy. You have to say, why is he going up? So comes the Gemara, velo pinigi. There's no machlok of it, which means here we gave two different reasons. Any Kohen that doesn't go up is over on three aseh, and he puts his whole lineage into question. Gemara says, it's not a machlok. Had the salik lefrakim, had the lo salik lefrakim, which is if the guy doesn't go up at all, he doesn't even go up lefrakim from time to time, so then the deen is what? Then not only is he over on three mitzvot aseh, but he's over also that people are going to think he's a ben Girusha or Ben Hazak, he doesn't go up at all. But if he goes up, if he goes up from time to time, now that she says, what does time to time mean? He explains time to very interesting. That she says, Lifrakim behagim ubemoadim. If he goes up on holidays, so at least they're not going to think he's a ben Girusha ben Halutza, but on the times he doesn't go up there, he's going to be over on three mitzvot. Now the Mefashim ask him, why did Hashem specifically say Hagim Mu'adim? Why did he say if he goes up on holidays itself? Just say if he goes up anytime. The point, exactly. The point is that's when the people will see, because there's a lot of people in the synagogue on the holidays. So if he wants to take off his pigam, that the people shouldn't think he's a ben Girusha ben Halutza, the only way he can do it is if at least he goes up when the people are there. So going up on Hagim Mu'adim, that'll take off the ben Girusha ben Halutza on him. But he's still over three asa anytime he does not go up. Now Harambam does write this in Halakha, but it's interesting the way Harambam quotes this, and I'd like to read it to you. Harambam says like this, Kol Kohen She'en Bo Echad Me'adivarim Ma'akimim, which is any Kohen that's able to go up to the Dukhan, in Eno Ole the Dukhan, if he does not, Afapi Shebitil Mitzvat Ase Ahat, even though he's over one Ase, Hare Ze Keover Al Shalosh Ase, it's like he's over on Shlosh Ase, which Harambam is learning over here, that that which the Gemara said Shlosh Ase is Lav Dafka, which means the real item is Kotev Arechu. Mm-hmm. The other ones over there are more like just extra, and they're not really over. It's ki'ilu over on shelosha mitzvot. Asin, he tells you them. Im ayah bet knesset kashul kohanim, when he was in the bet knesset when they caught kohanim, or im amru lo lalot, when they told him to say bechavod, and he didn't go. Shenemar kote baruchu bnei Yisrael amor lahem v'samu et shemi. Comes the Gemara and continues. Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Nevi. Yehoshua ben Nevi says, "Kol kohen she'ole ba'avodah, any kohen that does not go up to the dukhan at the beginning of the berachah v'ritzeh, that's the berachah of avodah, shuv eno ole, he cannot go up." Which means, even though it might take him time to get up, but he has to make his move to the dukhan from the time of ritzeh. Now, even though he might not get up there till tov shemchal chaneh lodo, that's fine, but he has to make a motion in akira at the beginning of the beracha of the Ritz. And how do we know that that's the way it's done? Shnei Emar. Vayisa Aaron et yadav elaham vaybarechem. It says Aaron, right? He lifted his hands up to the people and blessed them. Vayered ma'asot tachatat ba'olat v'ashlim. And then he came down for bringing his korban. So you see Aaron's blessing of the people and the avodah were done simultaneously. Ma'adam ba'avodah, afkan ba'avodah. Now, obviously, you can't have the Kohanim making the Kat Kohanim at the time of the Hazan saying that it's it. The Gemara says, "Today, Kalil La Mishtameh." You can't have two people at the same time. So, Ela, what we do is at least we write the beginning of this of their Birkat Kohanim, which is the walking up to the Dukhan. That's done simultaneously at the time of the Avodah, just like Aaron said the Kohanim at the time of the Avodah. We do it where the Kohanim move to the Dukhan at the time of the Avodah. Ini, we have a question. They are Rabbi Ami v'Rav Aseh Salke. The Gemara has a question on these two rabbis. That they went up after, which means they didn't go up by Ritzeh. Rabbi Ami v'Rabbi Aseh Me'ikarav u'akre kara'ayu Mamtalu avam matuatam, which means no, they actually did move their legs at the time of Ritzeh. They just didn't get there until the Kohanim. So it looked like they were walking after Ritzeh, after the Berakat Avodah. But you should know that they already made their move at the time of Ritzeh. It's only talking about whether they make Akirat Aglav, but Akirat Aglav, or the... Okay, now that's a very important point, which means that really the Halakha holds that once the Hazan says Ritzeh, then already the Kohanim should make a step or two towards the Dukhan. And they have until a Ma'azir Shekhinato L'Siyun. Once the Hazan says the word Mudim, and the Kohen did not make a move yet, he cannot go up to the Dukhan. That is the cutoff point, according to Shulchan Aruch, when the last time the Kohanim are able to go up. Utnan, we learned also in the Mishnah. Now, you need to know the beginning of this Mishnah. This Mishnah comes along and says like this, in Gemara Berachot. It says, let's say you have a Hazan. Okay? So the Hazan himself does not answer Amen to the Berachah of the Kohanim, when he's the Hazan himself. Because we're concerned, he's the makri, he's reading the words to the Kohanim, right? And if he's going to say answer Amen, he's going to get confused. He's going to lose his place. And then the Mishnah says over there that let's say the Hazan is the only Kohen, Okay, so now what does he do over there? So the Gemara says he's able to make Kohanim so long as he will not get confused that after the Kohanim is over, be able to go back to the Tefillah and start Sim Shalom. It seems, you know, after this whole procedure and ceremony, he couldn't even get confused. He's not going to have to go back to the Hazara, and he's going to, you know, mix up and confuse the Olamidah. So the Mishnah said over there, but if he's a Kohen and has Yeshuvah Da'at, they can make the Kohanim because he's the only guy. And then he's able to go back to the Hazara without getting confused. He's able to do that. So it says like this, that if this sole Kohen, who's the Hazan, if he's able to go back to his Tefillah, Rashai. But what do you mean? The Hazan did not make Akira. You're telling me you have to make Akira? He's the Hazan. His feet are together. He didn't make Akira. Ela dinad purta. Yeah, you know what it means? That when he says that said the Hazan moves his feet a little. Even the Hazan has to move his feet. So same thing when he says that Amir of Aseh, he says they move their feet a little at the beginning of Ritzeh, even though they might not get up there till later on. It's okay, just like the Hazan. He moves his feet a little. And really the Halakha says, brought down in the Poskim, that let's say you have somebody that's in the Amidah, a Kohen that's in the Amidah, and he knows that he'll be able to get to the Birkat Kohanim, he'll be able to finish his Amidah in time. When the Hazan says that it's said, the Kohen in the Amidah should move his feet a little towards the Dukhan. Even though it's in the Amidah, he has to make an Akira, speed up, finish his Amidah, and then run up to the Dukhan. Even the Halakha brings down, if a Kohen did not make Netilat Yadayim yet, the Halakha says he has to make Netilat Yadayim before he makes Birkat Kohanim, the Halakha says he should make a step towards the Dukhan and then go make Netilat Yadayim. At least he has he went towards. Furthermore, the Hazanim have to keep concentration that when they're praying, they should note if the Kohanim are making their move up to the Dukhan or not. They shouldn't speed up, but that's it. They should pace themselves to give the Kohanim a chance in order to be all left. The Hazan's going to go fast at Retzeh. He's going to say, I'm Hazish Karat on Sion Modim. And he didn't give anybody a chance to maybe the Kohanim was still in the Amidah or something like that. So Kohen has to be cognizant when he gets to Retzeh, the Hazan, to slow down, to give a chance for the Kohanim to make their Akira. Comes the Gemara and says, no, there is no Berakah in the Dutch time of the Kohanim. Comes the Gemara and says, "Amar Yosheb and Nevi'e notim koshel berachah lebarech eda letovayim." A different halacha, a different point. That when they were making zimun, you do not give the zimun. In the olden days, used to make the zimun as well as today. It should be done ala kos, right, with a cup. So you don't give the beracha to only somebody that has a generous eye. Shneimar tovayin hu yivorach. That a generous person has a good eye will be blessed. Kinatan melachmo nedal. How do we know he's generous? He gives some of his bread to the poor people. Al tekne yivorach. Don't read it. He will be blessed. Ela yivarech. He's the one that should bless. Now, as she says over here, what is a tov ayin? Sone basa, which means he hates other people's money. Vegomle chesed b'mamonam. Right, and he does chesed with his money, which is you have a generous person. He's not jealous of anybody. Doesn't yearn their money, and he spends his own money on the anim and all that. Such a person, you want him to make the berachat hamazon. In the olden days, if you remember, we learned that the one that made the zimun is the one that said the berachat hamazon out loud, and everybody else would be yotzei with his beracha. And furthermore, if he was a guest, he would include in his beracha berachat ha'oreach. And therefore, you want to give the Birkat HaMazon to somebody that's Tov Ayin, that's somebody that's generous with his Berachot and not stingy with his eye and things like that. So when he says the Birkat HaMazon, he's saying it for everybody that they should all enjoy the Berachah. You should not give it to a stingy-eyed person. You have to give it to somebody that is indeed Tov Ayin. How do you know that even the birds know about the people that are stingy? Even the birds know a stingy person. Which means you're putting your food in the traps for nothing. In front of the birds. Which means, how does a person trap birds? He takes a net and he puts like bread or food into the net over there, and the birds come and eat it. In this chapter of Shlomo HaMelech was talking about stingy people. So he said, you're wasting your food by putting this food in the net because the birds are not going to eat it. Why? Because the Gemara says, the Pasuk says, Al telham lechem ra'ay. You're not supposed to eat the food of a stingy person. There's not a beracha in his food because he really doesn't want you to eat. He's always looking, how much are you going to eat? You can take another one, you know, when are you going to finish and all that. So therefore, he puts a ayin ara on the food. So therefore, you shouldn't eat it. That food over there is not good. You get a stomachache from such a food. So even the birds, Shlomo HaMelech said, they know when they see food, this is a ra ayin. So Shlomo HaMelech says, you're wasting. Ki hanam mezoreh keshet. This food that you're putting in the reshet, in the trap, it's going to go to waste because the birds are not going to, even they can sense the cheap guy. Anybody that benefits from a tzara ayin over belav, transgressing a lot ta'aseh shen emar al tilham et lechem ra ayin. Again, because he don't want to give it to you. He's not giving it to you belev shalem. He doesn't want you to take. Even though he tells you, please take. But you know, he's only doing it to be nice. He really doesn't want you to take from his food. And therefore, you really take it so it doesn't belong to you. And therefore, you shouldn't take it because you know, he's not giving it to you. Relation. My rabbis don't know, very, very important lesson. A lot of times, you see the children, you have to teach your children. Somebody comes to school with a little bag of potato chips. That is, because it is enough for him. And everybody goes, oh, can I have one? So he's giving, but he's not giving it belev shalem. He really doesn't want to give up his, or he has a couple of candies and things like that. So you always have to know, when you see a person, the saudat, it's not mespeke, the saudat, it's not enough for even the person himself. You shouldn't ask. Because he's not going to refuse to, but he's really not giving it to belev shalem. In any event, ki kemo sha'ar benafsho. The pasuk says it is like sha'ar benafsho. That she says sha'ar benafsho, he gives two interpretations. One interpretation is it's like venom, which means when he's giving it to you, he's giving it to you poison. Look at Rashi. Ki kemo sha'ar benafsho. Sha'ar ze al korchenu lashon pa'al. It's a verbu. V'nekudato mukhat alav shechetsio kamat v'atsio patai. Just give me the grammar. V'tamo lematakinu ze ha'ochel. It's like the one that's giving it to eat, or the one that's eating. Mirer v'sh'ir benafsho shazar ayin. Which means, the one that's eating it, it's like you're putting bitterness into the one that gave it to you. She's the guy that doesn't want to give it to you. So by you taking it, it's like you put bitterness into him. Because he's all upset that you took it. Menachem ben Saruk pirshu. He brings another pirush of Menachem. Lashon shi'ur. Tamid hu mishair. Kama yochal zeh. Ve'ad matai. The stingy guy is always calculating. How much is this guy going to eat? And when is he going to finish? And therefore, do not eat from his bread. Comes the Gemara and says, yeah, he's going to tell you to eat. There's no question. He tells you to eat, however. But his heart is not with you, which means he really does not mean so. Rav Nachman bar Yitzhak Amar, Over b'shne lavi. Wow. Not only you over one lab, but you over two labs. Al terham ve'al tetav. According to this opinion, even to yearn it, it's a sin, even if you didn't eat it. Even if you're just yearning the food of a stingy person, already that emotion of yearning it already is a isur. Now again, these are not isur deoraitas, obviously, over here, because it's not written in the Torah itself, it's written in the Mishleh, which means isur means it's not proper, it's not a good hanagah. I'm going to be Shomei Nevi. En Egla Arufa Ba'a Ela Bishvil Tzar Ha'ayin. There's a story of Egla Arufa in the Torah. What is the story of Egla Arufa? You have a fellow that is found dead between two cities. They do not know who killed him. So the law is they measure to the closest city, and the Zekinim, the Sanhedrin of that city, has to bring Egla Arufa, and they have to make a confession, and they have to say, we did not murder him. And the Gemara says, "Shene'emar ve'anu ve'ameru," and the Zekirim say, "Yadenu lo shafichu et adam hazeh." We did not spill his blood. So the Gemara asks the obvious question: "Vehi al libenu al tash ziknei bedin shofchei damim?" What? Did we think that the bedin, a bunch of murderers, and have to come along and say we didn't do it? Ela lo bay liyadenu ufatranu avelo ra'inu ve'nachnu. Which means we did not see him and leave him, and we did not abandon him. What does that mean? We did not see this guy and let him leave our city without giving him provisions for the road. And we did not see him and leave him without escorting him out of the city. Now we're learning two things over here, which means the Beit Din has to say like this: we are not guilty. How would they be guilty? Not that they would murder. They would say like this: maybe he came to our city and we didn't give him provisions for the road. Now what's going to happen to a person who doesn't have provisions on the road? He's going to travel, he has no food. He's going to be hungry. he's going to see somebody that has food, he's going to attack him to get his food, because the guy's not going to want to give it to him. And what's going to happen? The guy that's being attacked is going to kill the person that's seeking provision. So the Beit Din has to say, listen, we weren't responsible. We didn't let him go out of the city without provisions. So therefore, you can't blame it on us. Furthermore, we did not leave him without Levaya. The custom is that when a person leaves the city, they would escort him on an entourage to protect him. So therefore, we're not blamed for that as well. Now, where do you see over here that the kapara for the igla arufa is for miserly people? Because what's the concern over here of the Beit Din? The Beit Din is concerned that they have to give him provisions. Why do they have to give him provisions? Because we're concerned that on the road, a guy is not going to give provisions up that quickly to him, and therefore he'll kill him before he gives the provisions. All that's why, because of Sarut Ayin. So they have to come along and say, listen, we weren't part, we gave him food on the way out. But the concern is because we're worried that somebody on the road is not going to share. Because if somebody was sharing the provisions on the road, then we're not concerned in such a case. But since we're worried about the people that are not going to give the food to a wayfarer that's walking on the road, so therefore we need a kapara for the Igla Arufa. So the whole Igla Arufa comes because of Sarut Ayin. Incidentally, when the mitzvah of Levaya, which is a great mitzvah, which the Gemara will talk about later on, the Kaparahim brings down Levaya Rashetevot Lehayim Ul Shalom Yelech HaOreyah, which means when a person has fulfills the mitzvah of Levaya, so he's actually giving the guest a beracha that he should be protected on the road. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Adab, Amar Av Simnai. Okay, interesting case. You have the synagogue, the old Kohanim now. 10 Kohanim in the Minyan. Everybody's a Kohen. So what do you do over here? Kulan, Olim, the Dukhan. So they all go up to make Birkat Kohanim. So obviously we're talking about, let's say, 10 Kohanim and a Hazan. You have a Hazan that's able to be Makre. So Israel is the Hazan, and then you have 10 Kohanim. The only question is, Limim Mevarchin. Well, who are they blessing? There's nobody there. So comes the Quran and says, Amar Bizera Le'ahehem Shebasadot. They bless their brothers that are not in the synagogue. They're in the field. The farmers that couldn't come to synagogue. So the beracha, the Kohanim, goes also outside to the people that are not in the synagogue. And Rashi says, they're working, and they couldn't come to the synagogue. Ini, we have a question. The people that are behind the Kohanim are not part of the beracha, which means, let's say you have people in the synagogue. The halacha says that you have to be standing in front of the Kohanim, like we're in panim, keneged, panim, right? You have to be in front. Now, or on the sides, but you have to be in front of the Kohanim, either directly in front or on the sides, but you have to be in front of them. But let's say you have a lazy guy, he's in the front of the synagogue, in front of the Kohanim. That's Am She'achorei Kohanim. They don't get a beracha. They're not part of the beracha. You know why? Because they're lazy to go to the back of the shul to be in front of the Kohanim, so they don't get a beracha. Now she says, So the Gemara's question is, so you tell me that anybody that's not in front of the Kohanim, panim kenegapim, doesn't get the beracha? So how could you tell me now that these 10 Kohanim that are making the beracha is for the guys in the field? Right. They're not there. So comes the Gemara and says, no, there's a big difference. Okay. Gemara says, which means it depends if the guy's anus or not, which is the farmers that are in the field, they can't come to the synagogue because they're working. They have an excuse. They have to tend to their fields. They don't get knocked out of the beracha. They're part of the beracha. If a guy's in the synagogue, he's just lazy to walk in front of the Kohanim, he wants to stay where he is, that guy's not anus, that guy is excluded from the beracha. Look at the Rashi.
Is he in the front or is he on the side?
No, side is okay. As long as he's in front of the Kohanim, as long as the Kohanim are in front of him, even though he's not directly head on, he's on the side, so the Kohanim, they wave from side to side, that all the people on the side just get the beracha as well. We're talking about a guy that's in front of the Kohanim, right? It means the Kohanim are behind him. Look at Rashi. They're not anisi. Ha'amdim bebet ha'kneset achorei ha'kohanim, lo anisi. Ela she'en ha'beracha hashuva aleim. It's not important enough for them. La'akor lagleim v'labo lefnei ha'kohanim. They don't want to walk in front of the Kohanim. De'yot mitbarakim panim keneged panim. Kedat. Hilkach enam bechlal beracha. Like we don't kote barichu panim keneged panim. However, the guys in the field, it's not their problem. They're working. So therefore, the beracha goes on to them. One more halacha. The Gemara says, Rav Shimi is a rabbi's name. Birta is the bira, the capital of a place called Shihure. Bet Knesset Shkulan Kohanim. If the Bet Knesset is full of Kohanim, Miksatan Onin or Miksatan Onim Amin. Some of them go up and some of them stay back to answer Amin. Because you have a minyan of Kohanim, they don't all go up. We just said they will go up. He's saying over there, no, some go up, some stay down. Make up your mind. Gemara Stakashia. Had ishtayir be'asara, had lo ishtayir be'asara. It depends if you have 10 left over or not. What does that mean? Look at that sheet at the bottom. Ishtayir be'asara. Miksatan olim deduchan, ba'asara olim amin. Which means, let's say you have, don't count the Hazan. The Hazan, let's say you have, and you have, let's say, 11 Kohanim. So the halachas, if you have 11 Kohanim, let one Kohen go up, and you let 10 stay back in order to answer Amin. Which means, so long as you have 10 to answer, you keep the 10 behind. Look at that sheet. Miksatan lukan ba'asara onim amin. Lo ishtayir ba'asara. Lo chashib le'berachan le'chudar onim amin. Let's say you have exactly 11 people, right? You have 10 Kohanim and one Hazan. So in that case, over there, if one's going to go up, you only have 9 left over. So therefore, you don't have 10 people answering. I mean, anyways, all of them go up. So basically, if you have anything less than 11, they all go up. Anything more than 11, you let one go up. Also, you have 12 people. Two of them go up, and 10 stay back. You have 30 people. Three go up, and 10. So you have to always keep 10 people back, even though they're Kohanim. So it's actually a race. Who's going to go up there first to get the iron? So they forget. If it's 10 people, all the Kohanim go up. And the Hazan, of course, is Mekhle to them. They have no problem. Who are they blessing? The people outside in the field that couldn't come to the synagogue. And that's the way the Shulchan Aruch writes down. Let's just read that inside. The Halakha says like this. Okay, well, let's go back to one Halakha that we said earlier first. Halakha says that if a Kohen is the only Kohen and he's the Hazan, so Halakha does say he can make the Birkat Kohen so long as he's certain that he's able to go back to his tefillah without getting confused. At the time of Yotzei, he'd make a little Akira, he'd move his feet a little just to be Yotzei the Akira. Then at the time of the Kohen, he would turn around, bless the people, say, you know, V'yasimachas Shalom, whatever it is, and he'd turn back around. Today it's much easier for a Kohen to do that, the Mishnah Berurah says, because there we have Sidurim. In the olden days, they would get confused, they wouldn't know where they were, but today the Siddur is sitting on the Yateva, so today it's more probable that the Kohanim would be able to find themselves in this situation and fulfill it and do it. Maran.
Didn't you say that we need two Kohanim?
No, you need two Kohanim to say Kohanim to them, to invite them. In this case, when someone would just say Emor, you will not invite them. Amor lem is to say the words Kohanim, to introduce them. But without two, one is fine. He can't make it. Now the Maran says, Bayit Bet Knesset, Shekulah Kohanim, Im En Sham Ela Asara, Kulam Olim the Dukan, besides the Hazan. Lemi Mebarchin, Lahem Shebasadot. Mi Oneh Harem Amen, who's going to say Amen to them? Hanashim Vataf. Maybe the ladies in the ladies section or the children in the shul. If they're there. V'im yesh sham yoter ma'asara. Hayeterim ma'asara ya'alu ve'yibarechu. The ones that are more than 10 go up. V'asara oni ma'harim. And the 10 stay back and answer Amen. Baruch Adonai le'onam. Amen v'amen.